Hour two of the Wednesday crew on WRSU FM New Brunswick is live here on the dial. Gideon Fox is with me. I'm Alex Carminati. 1 hour is down, and we got about 1 hour to go. Now 57 minutes to be exact. But it's Wednesday. It's the middle of the week. Tomorrow we have men's basketball here. A shorting crew on Thursday tomorrow on WRSU FM New Brunswick. Men's basketball, women's basketball playing on WRSU tomorrow. The men are here at home on Jersey Mike's Arena. The women are on the road at State College against Penn State. Gideon Fox will be one of those announcers tomorrow in State College when Rutgers women's basketball plays Penn State. He'll be with Sean Nat Carney. Men's basketball tomorrow has our good friends Chris Sakonis and Jake Schmid on the call. But Gideon, we talked about that in the first hour. Let's kick off the second hour with some NFL news, some football stuff, and a Thursday night matchup that we're going to hear about and see tomorrow between Pittsburgh and Minnesota. Pittsburgh 6-5-1, Minnesota 5-7. The Steelers coming off a big home win against their top rival in the Ravens last Sunday. Minnesota coming off a really heartbreaking loss to the Lions, allowing Detroit to win their first game all season long. Both of those teams are matching up with big playoff expectations on the line for both squads.
Yeah, huge expectations, and also teams that are victims of the Detroit Lions.
Yes, that is true, because Pittsburgh tied with them and Minnesota lost to Detroit. So that's a really intriguing point to bring up about these teams and the Detroit Lions. But yeah, I mean, again, we've talked about the AFC race all year. It's more wide open than ever. Pittsburgh has more than enough reason to be in that race, especially after beating Baltimore this past Sunday at home. And Minnesota also in the NFC. Look, five teams are locked between Green Bay, Arizona, Tampa, Dallas, and the Rams, pretty much. But those last two spots, whether it could be Washington, the 49ers, the Vikings, the Eagles, maybe to a certain extent, those four teams are just four teams to name out of some of these teams that could be wide open for that spot. Your Giants, maybe. Not definite, but to a certain extent, possibly.
Yeah, I'm not getting really too excited about that. I think right now what's keeping me interested in the NFL is just being an NFL fan, less of a Giants fan. Because like you're saying, I mean, the wild card races and some divisional races, too, are so close.
Especially in the AFC.
Yeah, absolutely in the AFC. And, you know, just like anything, especially this whole NFL season.
Yeah.
We have no idea what we're going to see on Sundays.
Absolutely.
I mean, this has been probably the most exciting NFL season I remember.
Well, I've been saying it for a while. It's the most wide open and, I guess, unpredictable year we've ever seen in the 21st century. I would definitely say that for sure. And, you know, it's really been intriguing to find out all these teams that are so wide open, teams that at the beginning of the year you would think would have no business to be in this conversation. Teams like Cincinnati, teams like Washington to a certain extent. The Chargers even to a certain extent. The Raiders to a certain extent.
The Patriots.
Even. Patriots. Denver to a certain extent. A lot of these teams, you know, had no thought or no really recollection of being in this mix. Miami, especially the past few weeks. You know?
I mean, Miami just took down the Giants. There's so much happening. So many teams that we didn't expect to go to be in the conversation at this point going into week 14. Look, it's exciting. And the Steelers have a lot on the line tomorrow night.
They do.
There is a lot of implications off that game, and I believe they'll be on the road for that
one. They will.
One.
The game's in Minnesota. It's in the very nice and big U.S. Bank Stadium in Minnesota. But for the Vikings, it's pretty big, too. Again, they lost to Detroit. They lost to San Fran the previous week also. So they're coming off two really tough losses. Also, the fact that their star running back, Dalvin Cook, is questionable for tomorrow's matchup. He's not guaranteed to play with that shoulder injury for the Vikings. So, you know, possibly Alexander Mattison, the backup running back, could take the majority of the load, if not the entire starting job, you know, tomorrow versus Pittsburgh. Dalvin Cook might not be playing, may not be playing. That can play a big factor, too, in tomorrow's matchup.
Yeah, I mean, Dalvin Cook, such a powerful running back. But, I mean, look, he's always injured. And props to Alexander Mattison this year. Alexander Mattison's been able to fill in for Dalvin Cook really well this year when he does get injured. And the thing with Dalvin Cook is he's never out for – I mean, every so often, yeah, he'll have crazy injuries. But, I mean, it's usually he's out for 2 weeks here, 2 weeks there. And guys like Alexander Mattison have to immediately step up their snap counts as they get thrown into the mix of things. Look, I think Dalvin Cook could be the X factor in this game. If he's playing, presumably, conceivably, won't be at 100%, right? If he's injured, why would the Vikings give him more than he could handle?
Right.
So, look, I don't think it's going to be a full full Dalvin Cook display. But, I mean, definitely not having Dalvin Cook either play 100% or play at all is a huge win for the Steelers.
At the same time, though, the Vikings have been quoted that Dalvin Cook not playing has not been entirely, you know, slammed. Vikings, quote, have not entirely slammed the door on Dalvin Cook playing or not playing tomorrow night. So, again, anything could happen. Anything is possible. He could play. He could not play. You could see him limited. You could see him play completely. Who knows what can happen with Dalvin Cook, but that shoulder injury really is intriguing to the determine where they go in this game, Minnesota, that is, and how Dalvin Cook could impact the way Minnesota plays the rest of the year, whether making the postseason or not. I mean, it's really, really intriguing. But for your Giants, Daniel Jones injured, neck injury, did not play last week. He probably won't play. He won't play this week for sure. But Mike Glennon got hurt at the same time, I believe.
Yeah, Mike Glennon got hurt too. And look, it's. I still like Daniel Jones. I'm still very, very big on the Daniel Jones train.
Sure.
Look, I don't really want to force him to play this year when he can't play.
Mm-hmm.
Look, it's going to be – the Giants aren't going to make the playoffs. That's fine. I'm not – I don't think they should force it. I don't think they should go for an all-out, all, you know, ditch everything effort.
Sure.
Cowboys are going to win the division. Let Washington – fight for the wild card with some teams from other divisions. Maybe they'll have to fight the Eagles for it. I don't think the Eagles will overtake the Washington football team. But, I mean, look, we'll see. But, it's definitely the Cowboys division.
Yeah.
But, look, Jake Fromm will be playing.
Jake from State Fromm.
Yeah, exactly. So, look, we'll see what happens. But I think Dalvin Cook has more of an impact on his team than Daniel Jones does. The way that they play right now.
Yeah, I mean, oh, well, for sure, absolutely. The fact that Minnesota's 5-7 right now, they're closer to a spot than the Giants are, absolutely, for sure. It's really intriguing because, again, if I'm the Giants, I would keep Daniel Jones. At the same time, Golladay was injured. Sterling Shepard was injured for a majority of the portion of the year. This season, a lot of their top players for Daniel Jones that was given to Daniel Jones couldn't really play. Also, the fact that with what he had, he's been able to make things really intriguing and put the Giants in the spot they're in right now. Look, they're 4-8. They're probably not going to make the playoffs, but the fact that they've been in somewhat of this conversation with this wide-open wild-card race in the NFC to begin with says a lot about where they are compared to where they were projected to be when the season began.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not disparaging, and I'm not beating up on them at all for the way that they played this year. It's just, look, it's not our year. There's always next year, and as tired as I am of saying that,
right,
it will get better for the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
Look, hopefully we'll get a decent pick out of the Bears pick this year. Hopefully we'll get a decent pick in the draft. But
and your guys stay healthy.
And
that's
guys
key.
Stay healthy. They, yeah.
I mean, again, Jones, of course, also on that injured list for the Giants this year. But Kenny Golladay, Sterling Shepard, Kadarius Toney, who you drafted in that Chicago trade, of course. You traded that pick for they got Justin Fields. You traded back to get Toney from Florida. He's been hurt this year. Blake Martinez tore his ACL in game 3 of the season. You know, you're seeing lots of guys get injured. Saquon Barkley again got injured. And Devontae Booker held his played pretty well, I would say, filling in for Barkley. He played pretty good as well. So the fact that you have these injuries, but at the same time you have some sort of promise for this team, says a lot about where they are going beyond this year, of course. But you mentioned the Giants. We mentioned the Giants. They're playing the Chargers this week. Jake Fromm could start. I think he most likely will. Depends on Mike Glennon, of course, if he's healthy or not. But we could see Jake Fromm starting regardless for the Giants this week. This entire NFC race specifically is just so, it's really wide open. Because, again, you have the Giants, like you mentioned, even to a certain extent. But you've got Washington. You've got the Niners. You've got Minnesota. You even have teams like Atlanta and Carolina, who are both 5-7, still alive. And they're facing off against each other in Charlotte this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much on the line for that one. That's a tough game.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be a good game. But look, I mean, I think tomorrow night too, I think I'm happy that's a primetime game.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a very, very close game.
I agree. No.
I think it could be a one-score game.
It might be.
Yeah. You know.
It might be a one-score game for sure. I mean, again, it will be really, really close. We'll see who of course, pulls out. First time these teams are facing off since 2017, Pittsburgh beat Minnesota by 17 points at home last time around. But again, who knows what can happen with this game? It is on primetime, Thursday Night Football, Pittsburgh and Minnesota. And for the Steelers, again, coming off that big win, a game where Baltimore blew it. Because Baltimore, Mark Andrews, if he catches that ball and he makes his way in for the two-point conversion, Baltimore wins the game, obviously. But at the same time, if they kick the PAT and just send the game to extra time, I think Baltimore still wins regardless.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think they're going to be out for vengeance this week, too. They just want to get the win under their belts.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it really is, it's, again, it's just so wide open. And it's been so wide open for the first time in a long, long time. We mentioned the Ravens, and they're playing the Browns this week. They're playing them for the second time in 3 weeks, I believe it is, because they play them on Sunday Night Football.
A huge divisional game.
Yes, huge divisional game. Lamar Jackson threw four picks in that game, but they still won by six. And they're playing Cleveland in Cleveland, and Cleveland's been also disappointing this year, though to a certain extent are still alive with that 6-6 record.
Yeah, especially this year, you're very much alive when you're 6-6. Anything could happen with that. But look, I mean, I think, Alex, do you have any predictions on what could happen tomorrow night?
I think Pittsburgh's going to win. I think Pittsburgh does win on the road in Minnesota. Depends on Dalvin Cook, of course. I think he'll play, but the way that shoulder has been, you know, playing a major factor on the Vikings throughout the majority of the past few weeks, I think you're going to see Cook limited. You'll see more Matheson playing pretty well, but at the same time, compared to Pittsburgh, it's just, I think it's going to be different. Roethlisberger has played a bit better this year. He's been more better, of course, than he did starting off the season. Najee Harris has turned into a big player on the ground for this Pittsburgh team. You'll see more of Claypool. You'll see more of Deontay Johnson, especially. You're seeing more of him throughout the past few weeks. What really is going to win Pittsburgh this game is their defense, because TJ Watt last week was just unbelievable, taking down Lamar Jackson left and right. He was great. That whole front seven for Pittsburgh, I think, will make or break what happens for the Steelers this week, tomorrow night against Minnesota. At the same time, I think they will win it, and they'll beat Minnesota, who is coming off that tough loss to Detroit. They're coming off that loss to the 49ers. They've been struggling the past few weeks. And look, they're putting up over 20 points each game, but they're having problems closing out games, and that seems to be an issue. I think that trend will continue for this week again for the Vikings.
Yeah, I think that's something that, you know, the Vikings are a good team. They feel the good team with or without Dalvin Cook.
They have a good team.
Kirk Cousins having a decent year right now.
He's still overrated, overpaid, I think, but to a certain extent, he is playing better than expected.
Yeah, look, I mean, that's a conversation that I think has a lot of different facets to it. That's a lot of different. There's a lot going into that. But look, 25 touchdown passes this year. He's had over 300 yards five times.
That's true.
This season, I mean, he's having a good season.
He is, but the last few weeks, he's not been able to close out games. That's the problem.
I mean, is that more on you or your receivers or the play calling?
Bit of both, O-line? I would say.
I think it's more than just two factors.
Yeah,
there.
That's true.
I mean, there's so much, right? You could argue that if the O-line had a better hold, you know, and gave him three extra seconds, you would have found the open Justin Jefferson or something.
Right.
But, I mean, they have good receivers. You have Adam Thielen, Justin Jefferson, who's unbelievable.
Oh, absolutely.
You are able to, with a guy like Kirk Cousins, I think he's a very upper middle of the pack quarterback. He has upper echelon receivers. Mm-hmm. Justin Jefferson is a fantastic receiver. Top 15 in the league, in my opinion, if not more. I mean, If you give Kirk Cousins time to find Justin Jefferson, you call plays that set him up. I mean, the Vikings they'll cook. They'll cook you. They'll destroy the Steelers. I don't really think that. I mean, it's not gonna be a blowout.
No,
not at all.
It will be within single digits. Definitely be within single digits. I think. I'll be honest with you. If we'll do, like, I'll give a quick prediction. I think Pittsburgh wins by a touchdown. I think 27-20 will be the final score, with Pittsburgh winning in Minnesota. But it will be a close game regardless, and no one's gonna win or lose by double digits for sure.
Yeah, I mean, right now, Minnesota -3.
That's the spread right now. Okay.
Over under 43.5. Your prediction said they're just going to go over that.
Yeah, they'll go over it.
I agree with you. 43.5 is pretty low. I think they're going to go over that. It's not, you know, it's not going to be 37-27.
No,
it's,
of course not.
It's going to be something you were saying.
It's going to be within single digits.
Absolutely.
For sure. Nine the most, obviously.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, fine. Maybe, you know, a field goal there, a missed PAT.
Mm-hmm.
Minnesota -170, Pittsburgh +145 with a money line. It's going to be a close game. I'm looking forward to see TJ Watt.
Yes.
I'm so excited to see TJ Watt, and I'm excited to see how the Vikings offense adjusts to that, because Kirk Cousins is not a guy like Kyler Murray who could pretty much play without an O-line.
Right.
Kirk Cousins is, and it's not, you know, quarterbacks need an O-line. That's
Cousins
the sport of football,
not,
but he needs people to protect him.
Uh-huh.
Especially
he's not that
guys
mobile.
Like
he's very focused in a pocket. All of that. He's not more that mobile quarterback that you just compared to a guy like Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson, folks like that.
Exactly, Patrick Mahomes, guys who could scramble around a little bit and not even rush for yards. I mean, sure, guys like Kyler Murray could absolutely fly, but just guys who are mobile, just guys who can move around, move back and forth.
He's very still.
Get out of a collapsing pocket.
Cousins
exactly.
Is very still.
And look, that works sometimes, and you have speedy guys like Justin Jefferson who could get open and could haul in passes. But I mean, you haven't played against T.J. Watt.
Yeah.
You can't compare T.J. Watt to anybody.
He's
maybe Aaron Donald, the two of them.
Yeah, to a certain extent, but Watt's a linebacker and Donald's a tackle. So
exactly.
That's the
exactly.
difference to a certain extent. But yeah, no, I see where you're saying when it comes to the physicality and the ability to make sacks, make plays, and win a game defensively for a team. For sure, absolutely, I see that. Well, it's so funny you just mentioned Aaron Donald because I'm looking at the Monday night game. And the Monday night game is Rams and Cardinals in Arizona. That's another big matchup. Last time these two teams faced off, the Cardinals won in L.A. by 17 points. It's going to be different this year, this time around. I think it'll definitely be a single-digit spread as well when it comes to a final score. I think Arizona will get it. Kyler Murray's back. He played pretty well last week. In their game last week, and as a whole, you know, I think Arizona gets the win. They will take down the Rams for the second straight time this season. I think they'll sweep the season series. And as a whole, you know, Arizona, they are legit, no question about it. But at the same time, you know, I think they'll beat the Rams. And look, Matthew Stafford's had a good year, great year ever since leaving Detroit. The Rams have been there in that wild card race, that wild card position. Number one wild card team, they'll pretty much be the entire year, I would say, in the NFC. But I think the Rams will fall to Arizona again. Let's also keep in mind the Rams, they've been kind of shaky back and forth, too, the past few weeks.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think this game, Alex, what do you think? Because in my opinion, I think Cardinals win this game, division, the NFC West is the Cardinals.
Absolutely.
If the Rams win this game, is there a chance that the Rams win the division?
They have a chance, but Arizona still wins the division, I think.
And you think the Rams are, even if the Rams win, Rams are 9-4 after this week, Cardinals drop to 10-3.
I would still say so. Arizona as a whole is more of a complete team compared to the Rams, and they've been more consistent than the Rams. Even, look, I mean, they might have got blown out by Carolina at one point, but even with, you know, Colt McCoy there at the helm for several games, they won big division games against Seattle and San Fran. So they were still able to pick up big wins, you know, without their star quarterback. The Rams, again, they have Matthew Stafford and their entire team, but they've also lost games to divisional rivals like the 49ers this year, and of course Arizona earlier on in the season. The Cardinals are more consistent than the Rams. They're both great teams. They're both going to make the playoffs. Arizona has been more consistent all year long. Arizona's going to stay consistent throughout the entire season, I think, which will of course then lead them to that crown, and I think as a whole that number one seed and the bye in the NFC playoffs.
Like, I think it's more than the Cardinals being more complete than the Rams. I think the Rams are a very complete team.
No, they are.
I just think that, I mean, look at the quarterback lineup matchup there. You can't even compare.
Oh, no.
As good as Stafford is and as good of a year he's having, you're not beating Kyler Murray.
No, you're not at all. Not at all. Absolutely not. And, I mean, again, Kyler has just been unreal ever since coming back from injury. And even when he was injured, Arizona was still winning games, like I mentioned, against San Francisco and Seattle. They were still winning big in-conference matchups and winning most of their games as a whole. They lost to Carolina in that Cam Newton comeback for that 1 week, and Carolina's been down the tubes ever since. But besides that, I mean, Arizona has been really, really good. And they just beat the Bears with Kyler back in town by 11 points. So Arizona has just been consistent all year long. And without without Kyler Murray, they've lost one game. And that one game was to Carolina. But even with, you know, Kyler Murray, the one loss they have, Arizona, without with Kyler Murray, is to Green Bay in that shootout of a game. And if AJ Green makes the makes the right turn or runs the right route, they could have possibly won it. But you look through Arizona and their wins throughout the entire year. I mean, they demolished Tennessee. They beat the Cardinals by they beat Minnesota by 1 point, but they beat the Rams by double digits. They beat the Browns by double digits. They beat the 49ers by double digits. The Browns, I mentioned already, the Seahawks by double digits, the Bears by double digits. They've lost to Carolina, like I mentioned. But the really true tough loss was to Green Bay by 3 points. For the Rams, they got blown up by Tennessee weeks ago, and they also lost to the 49ers in San Francisco. So those are the differences between the two teams. Arizona is just more complete and more consistent, whether Kyler Murray's at the helm or not.
Which is, I mean, that's a true testament to a team. If you're gonna, as good as Kyler Murray is, if you're gonna win games without Kyler Murray, you know, DeAndre Hopkins is still gonna catch the ball.
Absolutely.
No matter who's throwing the ball to him.
But the thing is, Hopkins has been hurt too for a certain period of time.
True.
And Arizona is still winning those games, you know. And again, games where they lose their top quarterback, they lose their top receiver. Both of them aren't there, but they're still winning games, especially divisional games, against a 49ers team who is still in the playoff race. Seattle's been down the tubes, and they're not going to make the playoffs. They've been bad the entire year. But even without those top two players, they're winning by 10 points at least.
So, Alex, you brought up Seattle. We talked about the Giants before.
Yes.
Let's take a quick break from playoff picture.
Okay.
Where does Russell Wilson stay with the Seattle Seahawks?
I tell you, we've been talking about this for a week or two now, I would say, on the crew. I have been, at least. I think he goes. He goes. His destination, though, I'm not quite sure, because there are plenty of options of where he can go. To be honest with you, it could be the Giants. It could be the Eagles. It could be the 49ers. It could be Denver. It could be, Washington, possibly. There are so many destinations where he can go. There's not one specific area where I can say, Russell Wilson's going to go here, and I guarantee it by next year. He's not even guaranteed to leave by next year or by the end of this season, to be honest with you. But when it comes to the fact that you have these different scenarios and these different, possibilities of him, A, leaving, and B, going to a team that is either A, still in contention, or B, missing a quarterback to be truly in contention completely, it's really intriguing. And I'm going to throw one more team out there. That's the Green Bay Packers. And here's why. Because, again, who knows with Aaron Rodgers. He will leave by the end of this year, regardless of what happens. I've been saying it for a long time. He leaves after this season. He goes to play in Denver. I think Russell Wilson will leave too. But it would make plenty of sense for Green Bay to lose Aaron Rodgers and replace him with Russell Wilson than just throwing Jordan Love out there through at the Wolves completely one season after. We saw Jordan Love play one game. It wasn't a best. He's also still young. He's still learning and developing in that system. But at the same time, if Green Bay is going to replace Aaron Rodgers by next year, why not make a move on Russell Wilson if he's there? Also, the fact that Devontae Adams is a free agent, and let's say you want to keep D.A., make a move for Russ, bring Russ there, keep D.A., and you have another star quarterback throwing to another star wide receiver.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. It makes sense definitely makes sense coming from you, Alex. You would love to see that happen.
To a certain extent. I want Aaron to stay, of course, but it's not going to happen. I know that. And I'm willing to take alternatives at this point. I would have no problem whatsoever with this alternative.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. And what the report I saw today is that he would consider waiving his no trade clause for the Giants. We mentioned that.
Yeah.
Broncos, again, makes sense. Drew Locke's not doing anything.
Yep.
And the Saints.
The Saints, I can see too.
Also makes sense. I think I'm stuck between Daniel Jones, staying with Daniel Jones and getting Russell Wilson.
Let's be honest with you, Gideon. Let me ask you this question then. Galladay is healthy. Sherlin Steppard's healthy. Tony's healthy. Everyone's healthy, including Saquon Barkley.
Including the O-line, too.
Including everybody you want to name. Who do you want as quarterback, Russell Wilson or Daniel Jones?
In one given season, I'd want Russell Wilson off the bat. Not a question. Russell Wilson is a better quarterback than Daniel Jones. Russell Wilson's having a down year. He's still
a top 15 quarterback.
He's better than Daniel Jones.
Absolutely.
There's no conversation to be had there.
For sure.
In terms of a franchise, I mean, look, Russell Wilson's 33.
Yeah.
Daniel Jones still in his early 20s,
That's
in
true.
His third year right now. It's so tough.
The Giants haven't won in 10 years, though.
Look, I think Russell Wilson, I think, would be the only quarterback right now, unless things happen, unless things change, more rumors pick up.
Sure.
Russell Wilson, I think, is the one. Yeah, I'm going to say he's the one quarterback that I'd rather have over Daniel Jones because of his experience.
Sure.
Super Bowls.
Yes.
Playoffs. Daniel Jones does not have that. His receivers don't have that. Someone who knows what they're doing is going to have to throw the ball. You know, at some point, you need Kadarius Toney to develop, and the only way you develop is with a good quarterback
absolutely
throwing you the ball.
Absolutely.
Kenny Galladay, we've seen Kenny Galladay. We know how good Saquon Barkley is. Saquon Barkley could, you know, it's your running back. He operates independently of the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
As long as it's a clean handoff, it's all up to Saquon Barkley in the O-line. But, I mean, if you want guys like Kadarius Toney to develop and stay with the Giants, you're gonna have to show them what the Giants are going to give them.
And you can do that with Russell Wilson.
Yeah,
sure.
And you might be able to do that with Daniel Jones in 3 years, but who knows? If Daniel Jones stays the quarterback, who knows where Kadarius Toney is in 5 years from now?
That's true.
If the Giants stay where they are right now, losing seasons, who knows what happens to Kadarius Toney?
Again, I see why you hesitated. Because, again, the future and all that, I get that. But I like how you reversed pivoted and focused more on Toney long-term than Daniel Jones. And, look, I'm not downgrading Daniel Jones at all. He had a pretty good year, I would say, of course, getting injured and all of that, and also dealing with teammates who were injured and having very little options. It wasn't a great start, but he definitely turned things around towards the end of the season, of course, before getting injured now in week 12, 13, now 14 about to be, you know. But this team hasn't won in 10 years. The Giants have not won in 10 years. You felt that. Dylan McCoy has felt that. Dylan Allen has felt that.
It hurts.
Many Giants fans have felt
that. It definitely hurts.
For almost a decade now. Wouldn't you want to turn things around on the spot? It's been too long, I would say.
Nah, you're just saying that because you're a Packers fan. You get whatever you want.
Nah, not really. No, we actually don't get whatever we want because the front office hasn't given Aaron what he wants for over a decade. So to a certain extent, we don't get what we want. We get 13-3 seasons and losing in conference championship season after season, but we don't get the Super Bowls that Aaron should have and the Super Bowls we Packers fans do deserve for supporting a franchise player like Aaron Rodgers. That's the difference. But the thing is with this Giants team, again, you've been in this losing situation for almost 10 years now. Nothing has changed. And if you want to make a change and you truly want to turn things around and, again, be that competitive team, keep franchise receivers, keep guys like Galladay, you know, Sterling Shepard, Saquon Barkley even, you know, and again, build around that quarterback. Are you going to build around Russell Wilson or Daniel Jones? That's the question, too. Also, keep in mind, again, who can get you straight into contention right now with such a weak NFC division where it's anybody's game, whether it's Dak Prescott healthy or not.
Right. I mean, look, Dak Prescott is the best quarterback in the division.
For
not
sure.
A question.
He's, no, for sure.
He is such a good quarterback.
For sure.
He would be the best quarterback in a lot of divisions. It's not just because we play in the worst division in the NFL, one of the worst in the NFL, but I think.
I would say the worst, to be honest with you.
I think we're second worst.
What's the worst? AFC East?
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely.
Right. Yeah, okay, that's fair.
Yeah, I think the AFC East is the only division that's worse than us, but I mean, the Patriots, I think, are better than the Cowboys, but whatever, as a division overall, that's another conversation. But The one thing about Russell Wilson is he won't be a free agent. It'll be a trade.
Right.
Right, we got Russell Wilson. It's what do we give up?
It's true.
And is that worth it? It's absolutely not worth giving up. Seattle has no running backs.
Right.
It's not worth giving up Saquon Barkley for Russell Wilson. To what I said before, if Russell Wilson were to magically appear next to Daniel Jones and it was my choice of who I wanted to start,
Russell Wilson. Absolutely.
I mean, I don't know what we're going to trade for him. Is it going to be picks? Is that going to be
Daniel Jones would have to be in the offer, you would think.
Right. So it's Daniel Jones is gone, but it's not going to be – there's going to be – the Giants are going to have to give up more than just Daniel Jones.
Oh, of course. Absolutely.
There's much more than Daniel Jones. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's the other thing, too, that's going to concern me. It's certainly going to concern me.
That's fair.
It's concerning me is – what do the Giants give up for Russell Wilson?
You could trade that pick that you gave Chicago.
I mean, yeah, who knows how much value that's going to have.
That's true.
But yeah, I mean, that's certainly it. If I would, you know, because
Seattle doesn't have a pick because of Jamal Adams.
Who is now hurt.
Who is now injured.
Yeah.
So,
Seattle really down on their luck.
They really are. So when you keep those things in mind, Seattle would be eager to get a draft pick. The Giants probably have several to give.
That's absolutely doing. They have a couple first-rounders they could get rid of. And look, yes, sir, I want Russell Wilson in blue, I'm not going to give up Kadarius Toney, Kenny Galladay, Kyle Rudolph.
Not.
We're not.
That's
just ridiculous. That's a terrible proposition and ruins the whole point of bringing him here.
That's true.
You're not building a team around Russell Wilson. You're giving Russell Wilson the team.
Pieces to work with,
exactly.
Right.
This is not, all right, well, we have a new guy. We have this guy, Patrick Mahomes. We have this guy, Lamar Jackson. Let's build up around them.
Right.
It's not that. It's we're getting an established quarterback in Russell Wilson.
And
let's see what he can do with our pieces.
We have to build around. Yeah,
right. Look,
we have
a couple draft picks coming up. We have a couple decent picks. Let's see what we need to fill in the cracks.
Sure.
But it really all comes down to, in my opinion, what the Seahawks would want from us.
Also keep in mind, Philadelphia could be going after him as well. Possibly. Depends on Jalen Hurts and Gardner Minshew or whatever. Washington possibly depends on Heineke and Fitzpatrick. And again, that division is so, so weak that it's anybody's game any given year. Could be Washington one year, could be Dallas the next, could be the Giants, could be Philadelphia, whoever. And the thing is, only Dallas has an established quarterback in that division. Daniel Jones has been a bit established, but depending on how established he will be, will determine whether or not the Giants keep him or not. That's how that is what sums up that conversation. But regarding comparing, you know, the Eagles and Washington, Heineke is young, Jalen Hurts is young. He's been not great this year. Who knows if he will stay around? Depends on Minshew too, you know. So Prescott's the only established quarterback in that division. For the Giants, if you bring in Russell Wilson there, you have two established quarterbacks, and you have two teams who can go at it any given year, where those two games they face off each year are more meaningful than they are already.
Yeah, I mean, how fun would that be?
Oh, it'd be fantastic.
You know, it's local rivalries. You know, besides for the Cowboys, all these teams are just a couple hours driving from each other.
Yeah.
I mean, that'd be fun. The Eagles, I don't know if it's me as a Giants fan not wanting Russell Wilson to go to the Eagles. I just don't see it. I feel like Jalen Hurts has more potential than Daniel Jones.
I don't know. I mean, he has the potential. It's just the way Hurts has played has not been the best. It's not been good. And the fact that, you know, again, he's been his questioning and the way he's played has been really unpredictable. One week he can be fantastic. One week he can be awful. You know, he's very, very inconsistent. And there are lots of Eagles fans who aren't pleased about Jalen Hurts. There are lots of Eagles fans who kind of wanted Carson Wentz to stay. You know, so Jalen Hurts is much more of a mystery box than Daniel Jones for sure. I would say, it's just with Jalen Hurts, you don't know what exactly you're getting. With Russell Wilson, we know what we're getting with Russell Wilson. Consistent quarterback, dominant veteran. He's actually going to throw to Devontae Smith instead of Jalen Reagor all the time. You know, you see those differences right there off the bat. So that's the point as well. I mean, it also depends on what the front office does, because a lot of people could say a lot about Howie Roseman. A lot of people don't like Howie Roseman. That's the thing, too. And Howie makes very, very questionable moves. Really, really questionable moves that put Eagles fans and any people just in the shock of where is the logic to this move? Where is the logic to this trade or this moment or this move you just made? Like, a lot of the logic is not there when it comes to what Howie Roseman does in the front office. So, not that it's not possible. Is it realistic? That's one thing as well. I mean, it's just really intriguing to see where he goes. At the end of the day, I can't really tell you where, because there are just multiple options. I can say he's leaving. I think he will leave. I think Russ is frustrated. He's upset. He has shown that frustration for sure. Him and Pete Carroll have been at odds to a certain extent as well, especially this season. And the fact that Seattle's just been going down the tubes, it's not been the best situation. It's been a really unhealthy relationship this year, especially for Russell Wilson. And keep in mind that this team is in a horrendous losing situation. Russ is also battling an injured finger, and the fact that, again, with all these things I mentioned before in play, Seattle's going nowhere right now. And for Russ, again, he's not getting younger. He's getting older. Like you mentioned, he's 33. He wants to win at least one more before he hangs up the cleats.
Yeah, and
that may be.
And I understand why he wants to leave. I mean, the whole team is just, like you said, they're trending downward.
It's bad.
Their running backs are always banged up and just can't do anything. Jamal Adams, who is now season-ending, I believe, shoulder surgery.
Yes, yep.
But, I mean, he was terrible this year.
He was.
He was awful this year. And you want
to
talk about someone
overpaid. And you gave up two first-round picks for a guy like that, too.
Exactly. You want to talk about Kirk Cousins being overpaid? Jamal Adams is overpaid for what he did this year.
No,
or what
I
he
agree.
Didn't do this year. I mean, he
I
literally did nothing this year. No sacks. His tweet I'm reading right now, ranked 90th out of 97 in coverage. I mean, he's just there's nothing happening there. And sure, Jamal Adams has been fantastic.
Right.
Yeah, but, I mean, he's not. It's just the team is trending downward. There's not much happening there. So I don't blame Russell Wilson at all for wanting to potentially waive his no trade clause. And for a guy like Russell Wilson, you're talented enough to pick the teams. Teams are going to have to come to you. You're not desperate for a job. You have the talent no matter what. Even in a down year, you have the talent to go somewhere.
Absolutely. I mean, again, we'll have to see how it all plays out. But again, to wrap up this, Russ leaves regardless of what happens. Where he goes is still very, very questionable. There is no certain area. 20 minutes or so to go here on the Wednesday Crew. Gideon Fox is with me. I'm Alice Carbonati. We've got one more or two more segments to go before we say so long on Wednesday. Keep it tuned to WRSU-FM New Brunswick's The Crew on WRSU-FM New Brunswick.
Take me out to the ball game.
About 20 minutes to go here on The Crew. Almost finished. 19 now to be exact, as it's 7:41 Eastern Standard Time here in New Brunswick, New Jersey. Gideon Fox is with me. I'm Alice Carbonati. We won't take you out to the ball game specifically, but we'll talk about some college football instead rather than baseball with about 10 minutes, 20 minutes or so left on the show. But Gideon, college football playoff, we mentioned it last week, I believe, or no, on Monday, excuse me, because that's when it came out. College football rankings are set. Four teams are in. Alabama number one, Michigan number two, Georgia number three, Cincinnati, non-Power 5 team, is number four. So it's all set. We'll talk more about it. And it's just the fact that these rankings are set, it's all in place. Cincinnati is actually in the college football playoff. It says a lot about what to expect and how exciting it's going to be, the college football playoff, when it rolls around on New Year's Day.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's so much to look forward to. First of all, Michigan versus Georgia is just going to be a hard fought. That's a defensive
game. Big 10, SEC. Oh, absolutely.
I mean, that's going to be – that game, I think, is going to have a Big 10 score to it, right? Big 10 scores, you know, it's 7-3, 10-7. I mean, it's, you know, it's going to be – game definitely is going to hit the under.
Two of the top defenses in the entire country. Top five, for sure.
Absolutely. Just, I mean, Heisman defense. Potential on the defense is Aiden Hutchinson from Michigan. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's going to be such a well-fought-out, just it's going to look like a Big Ten game. It's going to look like a defensive grinding game. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a game where you can't be afraid to punt the ball. You're going to have to understand that Georgia's going to have to punt the ball.
Yeah.
Michigan's going to have to punt the ball. That's just something, that's something we see every week in the Big Ten. That's going to be something that we're going to see at that game. Alabama-Cincinnati, I mean, look, you could write it off as an Alabama win. As fun as it is to see a non-Power 5 school get in there, and I don't count Notre Dame as a non-Power 5 school in this conversation, but it's great to see Cincinnati there. They absolutely deserve to be there. They deserve that 4 seed. They absolutely deserve to be there playing in the first game on New Year's Eve, but Alabama's going to
I know. I mean, although, stranger things have happened. That is true. If the upset brews and Cincinnati gets to the national championship, that would be something. And again, I said it before, if they win the whole thing, that has to be the ultimate example of why you have to expand the playoff. You have to expand it to begin with. But if that doesn't give the committee any reason to expand the playoff, they're out of their minds. Because, I mean, it's just like, again, a non-Power 5 team, AAC, Cinderella-type story team, got into the playoff to begin with. They were able to muster their way in there. Let's say they beat Alabama, hypothetically. They beat the top team in the country, the top team in college football ever. They beat them to get there. And the fact, let's say they beat either Michigan or Georgia, Big Ten champs, or Georgia, who was undefeated the entire year before losing to Alabama, two powerhouse teams that are always in the mix and conversation for a conference title or a national title. If they beat one of those teams as well, that's on top of it another reason why you should expand it. But, again, all hypotheticals. We'll see how it all plays out Yeah, I mean, again, Alabama's most likely favorite to win it. Bryce Young played fantastic last week in the SEC title game. He, Aiden Hutchinson, Kenny Pickett, and C.J. Stroud are the four remaining finalists for the Heisman Trophy. I mentioned it earlier, C.J. Stroud had a good year and a great ending to the year. Don't get me wrong. Kenneth Walker should have been there, I thought, over C.J. Stroud. Walker as a whole had a much better composed year, and when you saw, Michigan State before, of course, getting blown out by Ohio State, okay, I can see possibly why in that regard, why they gave it to Stroud, and also the fact that Stroud finished very strongly before losing to Michigan in the season. I see that, but Walker was so consistent the entire year, and one of the main reasons, if not the main reason, that Michigan was a top 10 team the entire season.
Yeah, I mean, I also just think it's easier to give the Heisman to a quarterback who does well, right? I think a running back has to do a lot more.
But he's done more. He did more than enough. He did more than enough, though, if you really think about it. And Spartan fans, of course, aren't happy because they call it the Kenneth Walker Heisman snub because he didn't get in. But, and rightly so, they should be upset because of how well he played. And, again, the way he played, the way he was just so consistent, so ecstatic the entire year. I mean, again, they probably were going to do it anyway because of Ohio State and the fact they missed the playoff and this and that. Also, C.J. Stroud, freshman, future of the program, all of that. I get it. But Kenneth Walker, man, got Michigan State to where they were at this year. Probably the main reason, one of the main reasons at least. And the fact that he got snubbed at this and you chose the freshman quarterback over the senior, I believe he is, junior, senior, somewhere in that regard. The fact that he knocked the socks off, he blew the socks off, he knocked the door off. He played fantastic to get Michigan State to where they were all season long. I mean, he got snubbed. He really got snubbed. And again, a senior over a freshman, you would think the senior gets the majority over the freshman any given day.
Yeah, I mean, you'd think that, but again, look, it's college sports. Anything happens. It's so all over the place. And another story I just want to talk about briefly.
Yeah.
Kenny Pickett of the Pittsburgh Panthers. Panthers, and we talked about Kenneth Walker. We talked about Michigan State. The Pittsburgh the Pitt Panthers are slated. They're the ACC champions.
Right.
They're slated to play against Michigan State in the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl in Atlanta.
Really?
Kenny Pickett. Heisman Trophy finalist. He's undecided if he's going to play in that game.
You're kidding.
Yeah, first of all, New Jersey. Didn't realize he was from Jersey. He's from Ocean Township.
If only if he came to the Scarlet Knights.
Oh, could you imagine? Could you imagine?
Oh, my golly.
Yeah. He also, I mean, look, he's NFL draft potential. He opted to come back this year instead of going to the draft to use that COVID year of eligibility.
It showed.
Absolutely. I mean, and this is what happens. You become the ACC champion and you lead your team to that. And not at all knocking on him for that. Good for him. I mean, he's not at the top of his game.
Oh, for sure.
But Pittsburgh got rid of their offensive coordinator. And Pickett said, with recent news of our team, with Coach Whipple and everybody, I'd say I'm undecided right now. That's from an article from the Asbury Park Press.
Okay.
I mean, first of all, who knows New Jersey and Ocean Township better than the Asbury Park Press?
Yes.
But I mean, Kenny Pickett doesn't play. That's a huge. I mean, I don't see how Pitt beats Michigan.
Oh, not
State
at all.
Without
at all.
Kenny Pickett, that game's over before it starts.
I mean, yeah. I mean, again, that's really, really fascinating. And the fact that, again, let's say he does not play and he does not go into that. Yeah, Michigan State for sure would just outright destroy him. But I think that brings in another argument of why Walker got snubbed. And again, let's say Michigan State does beat Pitt. One team beats another. A Heisman player that got snubbed, let's say Pickett does play, does beat a Heisman finalist. I mean, you can't write hypocrisy any better than that, to be honest with you. And the fact that, again, he couldn't get there, Walker, says a lot about where it is and how the system still is, again, Ohio State, I get it. But still, how it's favored for Ohio State more than Michigan State, who has this historic run all year long, and Walker the entire year plays out of his mind much better than C.J. Stroud. It might be difficult to compare a quarterback to a running back, but when you look at it as a whole, Walker made a bigger impact than Stroud did the entire season long. Ohio State might have played better and, again, clobbered Michigan State when they met, but at the same time, Walker had the better year than C.J. Stroud, and also the fact that C.J. Stroud blew it and choked towards the end of the season when Michigan beat them by 15 points. So that's also another factor in play as well. And also keep in mind, most of Stroud's elusive stats came against horrible teams. Or bad teams, Rutgers, Maryland, many out-of-conference teams who are not in the Big Ten, who are towards the bottom feeders of the entire, you know, FBS rule of play. Some teams were even FCS teams that they clobbered by over 40 points. So when you put all of that in play, Walker got snubbed. Regardless, you know, we'll see how it plays out. But if Pickett does not play, I don't know if that's a slap in the face. But at the same time, it's a really intriguing move that questions Pickett's loyalty, I think, as a whole to Pittsburgh to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's on his way out right now. If he plays, this is his last game in a Panthers uniform. But, I mean, his offensive coordinator who brought him here is not going to play.
That's true.
He's not going to coach.
That's true. I see that. I see that regard. Again, that personal connection with him and the OC who actually got him there. Okay, I can see that. But at the same time, it's your last game regardless of what happens. Whether the OC is there or not, you're going to the NFL. And when you get to the NFL, that OC will not be your OC for whatever football team you play. So there really is no difference, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. But, I mean, Pickett did still come back for specific reasons.
He did.
You know, to play for specific coaches.
He did. That's true.
I feel like he's going to play. I mean, how do you not?
You're
playing in a pretty bowl prestigious game. Bowl game. You just won the ACC championship.
Top 15 teams in the country facing off, too. I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you're a Heisman finalist. You're trying to get drafted. You're probably going to get drafted.
Regardless, yeah.
But, you know, trying to look your best, trying to play your best. We'll see there. But I feel like in the end of the day, he's going to end up suiting up for
that
game.
We'll see. But that's coming around the corner, and again, that college football playoff is coming around the corner sooner than we expect. Alabama and Cincinnati, Michigan and Georgia. That second game is going to be a heck of a matchup to see who plays the winner of Alabama and Cincinnati. Regardless, it's going to be a really intriguing contest, and again, if Cincinnati can pull it off, that'll be one story for the ages. That would definitely be for sure, but the way it looks, it'll probably be Alabama-Georgia, Gideon, in all honesty.
Yes,
I hope it's Alabama-Michigan if the Crimson Tide do demolish Cincinnati. I really hope the Wolverines get there. One, I'm tired of the same matchup. Two, I'm tired of SEC domination as a whole. Number three, a Big Ten team getting there and also trying to avenge the loss last year. Ohio State lost by 20-plus to Alabama last year in the championship game. Ohio State shouldn't have been there to begin with, but regardless, they got there and they got demolished. That would just be a great, you know, comeback story regarding Big Ten SEC contention-wise and really, you know, competition-wise. But also at the same time, again, Michigan representing the Big Ten and the Big Ten beating the SEC for the first time in a long time. That'd be really, really one heck of a storyline. But we've got about 8 minutes or so to go. After this break, we'll be back for rapid fire before we say so long on the Wednesday crew of WRSU. Rapid fire, about 5 minutes or so left to go here on The Crew. Gideon Fox is with me. I'm Alice Carbonati, and Gideon, it's time for some rapid fire stories. What do you have for us?
So, Alex, you've heard of an MLB lockout. You've heard of an NHL lockout.
Yes.
But right now, the Arizona Coyotes might be locked out of their own arena.
Why is that?
So Glendale is the city they play in, and they play at the Gila River Arena.
Right.
Apparently, there are unpaid charges, unfiled taxes.
You're kidding.
And the city might just completely lock them out of their own arena.
Oh my golly.
And I mean, there were reports a couple years back of the Coyotes relocating just because they're an abysmal franchise. They can't win a game.
Yep.
You know, fans don't go to the games. Fine, that's a separate conversation. Then there was talk of the city forcing them to relocate and not renewing the lease on the arena because Coyotes don't own the arena. You know, like a lot of arenas.
Right.
It's the city's arena. So there's talks of that. But now, I mean, This story comes up like once a year.
I mean, it's just, look, they are an abysmal franchise. They have little to no fan base. I mean, I personally don't know one Coyote fan. Do you?
No.
I couldn't tell you. I don't know one Coyote fan at all.
They do have awesome jerseys.
They do have
their jerseys.
Their
jerseys are so cool.
But they are a horrendous franchise. Yeah. They are a horrendous franchise. And they got locked out of their own arena.
So they might be. Right now, according to an article in Bleacher Report, they have a deadline of December 20th. That's in 12 days. That is very soon. This is a quote. The Coyotes have a deadline of December 20th to pay their delinquent bills, and outstanding invoices or employees will be denied access to the arena. So, I mean your card won't work when you swipe in. Staff can't get in.
You're an NHL franchise. I'm sorry, with all due respect, how do you not pay those bills?
Yeah, seriously.
How do you not pay those bills?
Whose job is it?
Any franchise, hockey, baseball, basketball, football, the amount of money these franchises have to begin with, it's unbelievable. And the amount of revenue COVID took a hit, sure. But the amount of revenue they make off, you know, sales and fans and jerseys and whatever. Arizona has no fans, okay.
Yeah, sponsorships.
You know what? I can see why, because Arizona has no fans. I can see why.
So you can't fund your accounting department because no one shows up.
No one shows up to the games. Okay, fair enough. No, I'm kidding. But, but still, I mean, how? How? That's really abysmal.
Like, how many people had to have not done their job for this to happen?
A lot of
people. Like, how many checkpoints did these forms and checks that weren't paid and filled out? Like, what happened?
Incompetence.
Seriously.
Incompetence.
And it's not like they were too busy focused on finding the best players out there, the best prospects, the best guys to trade for.
Of course not. No. Andrew Ladd, of course. Take it on his salary. Take it on that salary, of course.
Oh, yeah. Or training for Taylor Hall to do absolutely nothing.
Or paying off Pavel Datsyuk's and Marian Hossa's contracts, but that's okay, too. You know.
Okay,
but,
fine. So I get it. They're busy.
Yeah, busy. Busy paying for players who don't play anymore.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I saw that story came in, when we were on the air.
Sure.
And I thank God it came in like 20 minutes ago, or else I'd bring it up at some point else. But I mean, like, I just don't understand. I don't understand.
It's bad. Do we have one more story for us?
Absolutely. Another story that came out today. Tiger Woods is back, but also his son, Charlie Woods, they're going to play together at the PNC Championship.
No way.
Yeah, this is Tiger's first tournament since the car crash.
Oh, my golly.
And just to add a little bit to it, his son will be playing that tournament too.
Wow. Wow, that's incredible. And to be honest with you, I thought Tiger would never play again. Horrific injury, really bad stuff. God bless him. Thank goodness he's playing again, because he's one of the goods, for sure.
I mean, yeah, you're not alone in that. I mean, he almost lost his right leg.
Yeah. He's even said he's blessed to have his leg. He's blessed to have his leg. He's thankful to have his limb, because he almost lost his limb. He also almost lost his life, you know, sadly. But thank goodness and thank the Lord that he's okay and that he's able to play, you know, coming up soon. Him and his son, though, wow. You can't write that story any better. Father comes off a car crash, plays with his own son in his first tournament back. That's fantastic.
And it's not just a regular golfer. I mean, it's Tiger Woods.
It's Tiger Woods.
That's the Tom Brady of golf.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, yeah, he's one of the GOATs for sure. Is he the GOAT? Could be debatable between Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer and guys like that. But in the modern day, in the 21st century, absolutely number one. Absolutely number one. And with Tiger Woods, we'll say so long. This has been the Crew on Wednesday. Gideon Fox and Alex Carbonati here on the Wednesday edition of the Crew. Hello there. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll be back for a short Crew tomorrow, and then we have men's basketball at 7 Eastern. Thanks so much for tuning in. Have a great night. Keep it tuned for further programming on WRSU FM, New Brunswick.